Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All righty. Well, good morning. Hey, we're pumped you're here today. We're actually starting a brand new sermon series entitled Seven, if you can't tell from the video. But we are not going to listen to me starting a sermon series today. So I know, right? So exciting. Trust me, you will be clapping afterwards as well, because today we have the honor and the privilege to hear from a guy really why this church is even here today. A guy that's just really kind of input a lot of stuff into me, really just focused in, like was able, just a mentor of mine and even my pastor as well. And it was just an incredible honor to have him here today. He's one that really helped birth this whole idea of planning a church called Life Change in Newark. So it's exciting that we get to honor and we get to hear Conan Stevens today. So if you would, let's welcome Conan Stevens.
Oh, appreciate it, buddy. Oh, well, I tell you what, incredible privilege to be here. It's my first time seeing this property. It's beautiful. I tell you what, I know, you know, you guys got a new building, and this is awesome. Walk in and go, man, you guys have done a ton of work. And some of you that done it, you said, yes, we have. Okay, so it is an incredible blessing to be here. And listen, I'm the biggest fan of Corbin and Sarah. In fact, I knew them before they were married, actually. And so Corbin actually came with us and helped us really get C3 Church in Pickerington off the ground. And man, served in so many ways. Our very first youth pastor, he was there. And from that to a board member to, but I could always see this. I could see it. I could see it in them. These guys were called to plant a church. And it's amazing to see what God is doing here. And you know what's awesome is that many of you in this room's lives are changed because of their obedience to Christ. And I think that's incredible. And so I believe this is only the beginning for Life Change Church, that there is so much more that God is leading you guys to. And I'm just excited to watch it and root you on from Pickerington, Ohio. So keep it up. Well, we are starting a brand new series, and I get the privilege of kicking off this series entitled Seven, okay? And so I'm like, Corbin, this is a good idea. Where'd you get it? I said, who'd you rip it from? He said, no, it's all original. I'm like, you have an original pastor. That's all I'm saying. The guy is original. And so basically, this series comes from the seven miracles of Jesus in the book of John. And so when you look at the scripture, right, there are really four gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books in the New Testament. And it's what those were really four different accounts of Christ's life. Now, when you read the scripture, you see Jesus where he's born, we see where he's 12 years old, and then we really don't read, there's really nothing in the Gospels until he's 30 years old and begins his ministry. And then, of course, he's nailed to a cross at 33 years old. So we're going to take this from the book of John. John was one of Jesus' disciples, John the Beloved, okay? And I think it's funny how John, we were talking this morning, me and Corbin, how John would put things in there, you know, when the tomb was empty, Peter and John ran to the tomb, but John ran on ahead like, yeah, I'm the faster one. So he put that in there, right? You know, he put in there, you know, I am John. You know, Jesus was sitting next to the one that he loved, you know, John the Beloved. I'm like, I guess you can do that if you wrote the book. So, but here he is, right? And we see these miracles that Jesus performed, and there's so many things that we can grab from each one of them. And so today, we are going to look at where Jesus, his very first miracle in Scripture, where Jesus turned the water into wine. And so we're going to turn to John chapter 2. If you got your Bible app, would encourage you to go there. If not, we're going to throw it on the screen if you got your hard copy. But check out this story. Here's what it says. And of course, we got to realize the context with a Jewish community, kind of small town where they didn't have cars. Everyone knew everyone. I mean, it was a close-knit community. And we see this. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, so Mary was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Okay. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Now, this wasn't like running out of like cake and ice cream at a party, okay? You know, we've all been there before. Where's the cake? Oh, it was all eaten. Okay. This was a big deal. It really was a big deal. In fact, most of these weddings would go the entire week long, and they would be supplying food and wine for everybody. And so when the wine ran out, that was a big deal. In fact, it was a huge embarrassment. Anybody here ever been embarrassed? Okay, I'm about to share with you my greatest embarrassment. This is a true story, right? So I'm in college, and me and my, she is now my wife, believe it or not. I can't believe it after what I'm about to tell you. So, you know, we're going to, I was at a Bible college trained to be a pastor, and so I was really trying to impress her, right? Because this girl, I'm like, this girl is fine. She must be mine, right? Like, so that's why you go to Bible college, right? Ring by spring or your money back. That's what they say. I was looking, I ain't lying, looking for a good woman to, like, be my wife. And so, you know, she was there with a friend. We went to church, and I'm in a tie. I'm all, right, dressed up. And we went to Taco Bell afterward, and, yeah, I mean, I'm a classy guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm trying to impress her, and I'll never forget, we're sitting there talking, and, you know, and I'm like, yeah, and I'm eating a bite of my burrito, and one of them said something funny, and I went, hum, and something shot from my nose. I promise you, it's embarrassing. Lands on my tie, and I'm like, and me being smooth, hey, covered up, act like I'm adjusting my tie. No, I'm not. I'm hiding it, right? I'm taking care of it. And the other girl didn't see it, but the only one I'm trying to impress saw it. She's like, oh, my word, you just shot something out of your nose. I'm thinking, this is over. She still married me, so I don't know. You talk about being embarrassed. I'm like, you idiot, right? Trying to impress this girl, and this happens like the worst of the worst. It was so embarrassing. Let's be honest, though. Many of us in this room, maybe we've walked through some times of embarrassment. This was beyond embarrassment. For them to run out of wine was almost downright shameful. In that culture, if you did that, it was a huge, huge, you know, huge slam on your reputation. In fact, many times they would make you, I did some research on this, they would actually make you shave your head, wear burlap, and you had to go to the leaders of the city to beg forgiveness. Is that crazy? This wasn't like, ah, bro, you ran out of cake and ice cream. This was a huge, huge deal that your family's reputation would carry for years to come. It was a big deal. So you talk about embarrassment. And then not only that, it was for the guest who was there, it was incredibly disappointing. Where's the wine, right? Running out of this, and let's be honest, many of us have been disappointed before. I've been disappointed. I can remember one time back in the same era of college. It was a rough few years, okay? I remember in college, and they came to me and they said, I was at Southeastern Bible College, which is now Southeastern University, and they had this late night show. I'm like, dude, I got the name for it. Late Night with Conan. Come on. And they came to me and they go, hey, would you be willing to do our late night show? It was on some real, you know, high number cable channel on Thursday nights. And they said, would you? I said, man, that would be awesome. They go, we have script writers that will help you write. I'm like, this will be awesome. I'm a pump. And they came to me, so I started putting some stuff together thinking this is going to be good. Well, they came to me like a week prior, and they go, hey, we got this other guy, and we want to do this. We got three guys, and we want all three of you to do a show, and the student body will vote. I'm like, that's cool. All right, as long as you give me a chance, man, I'm still game. And if it's not me, it's not me. Well, they let the first guy, because he was a senior, I was a junior, they let him go first, and they're like, you know what, we're just going to stick with this guy. I'm like, okay, time out. Like, you asked me first, and then you let this guy, you don't even give me a shot. I said, give me a shot. If I fail miserably, I'm totally cool with it. If you've already pre-chosen him, give me a shot. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. You talk about, that was disappointing, right? I'm like, oh, man, that stinks. So let's be honest. Some of us in this room, we have some incredible disappointments. And for many of us, some of our disappointments are really bring some deep pain, more pain than not just being on a talk show, right? Some of us have some incredible deep pain. So here is this party on the edge, in the brink of incredible embarrassment and shame and incredible disappointment. And so they come to Jesus, right? I love it. Mom says to him, right? She comes to him and says, wow, you have to do something about this. Now, we don't know. I look at the story and I'm like, huh, Mary, his mother, comes to him and says this. Now, did she know something we don't know? Because in Scripture, we don't know if Jesus, we haven't seen Jesus do really any other miracle. This is his first one. You know, we don't know if, you know, in that culture, when a rabbi would begin his ministry or teaching, he was about 30 years old. That's when Jesus, that's about how old Jesus was. So we don't know if she's like, ooh, this is your time. You know, I look at this and go, did he do miracles as a kid that we don't know of? I mean, he's God, right, in the form of man. We don't know this. Here's all we know. This is the first one in Scripture that we see, whatever the case. And I'm reading between the lines. But whatever the case, Mary knew something that everybody else didn't. And so she says, hey, it goes to Jesus. They have no more wine. And check out what Jesus says. He says, woman, why do you involve me? Now, we read that. We're like, what? That's kind of a slam. That is not okay. When you, Some of you are like, what? Jesus, man, what are you, a woman? Yeah. No, that's not how it was. Basically, he was saying, in fact, in that word that was translated from the Greek, it was not a form of disrespect at all. He was saying, what do we have to do with this? It was a common phrase. In fact, the NIV says, dear woman, right? He loved her. Okay, that was not a slam. Woman, why do you involve me, right? But he says this. Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. Then he goes on, right? He says, his mother said to the servants, right? She's not taking no for an answer. Some of you moms, I know how you roll, right? I got one like that. She says, do whatever he tells you to do. So basically, you got this. Go ahead and do what you do, right? Do whatever he tells you to do. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind the Jews used for ceremonial washing. So basically is what the Jews would do. They would have these things they would pull up. They would put some water on their hands. They would wash their hands. It was a very dusty environment. They weren't riding in cars. They were walking, riding mules, camels. They would wash their hands. And basically, in the Jewish culture, that was, you know, in the past, you know, they read the writings in the book of Psalms of David and some of these other authors, and it was, who can ascend the holy hill? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. So they were constantly ceremonially washing their hands. Now, we look at this, man, why these six stone jars? Now, some of the Bible scholars say this. They go, well, seven was the perfect number. Six is an incomplete number. So basically, they were saying, well, there's some symbolism there of that with Jesus, he brings the six to seven and brings wholeness and completeness. You're like, okay. There's a whole lot that we can read from the story. Now, I'll say this too. These stone pots were in the process of being cleansed. They had a whole ritualistic process that they would walk through of cleaning them, drying them. And so Jesus tells them, the servants, right, that these stone jars, as we're going to see in a minute, he says to them, fill the jars with water. And so they filled them to the brim. Now, so what are they doing? They are taking those jars that are in the midst of a ceremonial cleansing, and he says, I want you to break that ritual. So that wasn't a light deal. That was kind of a big deal. They're like, whoa, hey, like they're still being dried out and cleaned. And he breaks the norm. And he breaks the norm. And so they do this. They fill it up. And here's what it says. And let's go to the next one. In verse 8, it says this. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. So they take these jars and they fill them to the top. And then they scoop it out. And they're like, oh, great. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I mean, picture this. Here's this wedding. And there's a, behind the scenes, there's a bunch of frantic craziness going on, okay? Some of you that work behind the scenes and different things, and if you're in charge of something and it ain't going well, you're the one pulling your hair out. Where everybody else is like, this is great, right? Woo, the party. And so they are frantically panicking behind the scenes, and then Jesus is like, hey, fill those up with water and go ahead and take it to the master of the banquet. Now, can you imagine the servant's like, oh, dear Lord, here we go. All right, would you like some water, sir? Like, what are you going to do? But it was a risk. I mean, that was a risk. It was a risk on their part. But they take the risk. They fill them with water. They knew what was in there. And I can only imagine what is going through their mind as they're walking across the room going, oh, man, this guy's going to rip my head off, right? And he goes over there and he hands it to him. And he hands it to the master of the banquet. And so what is he doing? Man, the guy drinks, and I love it. It says this in verse 9 through 11. And the master of the banquet, right, tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it came from. So he had no clue about the miracle. In fact, I think it's amazing how this miracle, the majority of the people there didn't even know what was going on. They didn't. It's not like Jesus did this miracle to point to him. No, he did it to save someone's reputation. He did it out of love. And I love the fact we don't even know who the couple is. It doesn't even give their names. And this is not some huge Jerusalem city. It's some smaller village. And he turns the water into wine. He did not realize where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then, so the guy drinks and like, whoa, dude, this is high-end stuff, right? Like, this is amazing. And it goes on, and it says, after he called the bridegroom, he says, everyone brings out the choice wine first and the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, right? He says, well, they don't care what it tastes like anyway. He says, but you have saved the best till now. And what Jesus did here in Cana Galilee was the first sign of through which he revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. So here's what I want you to get. Right? Jesus walks into this situation, right? You know, you're going to say, well, this isn't life or death. It's not, but it's a big deal for the people that's going through it. And Jesus does his first miracle. So if you grab one thing from the message today, here's what I want you to walk away with. That problems are a miracle opportunity. Now think about that. Without problems, there's no miracle. So when Jesus steps in, and let's be honest, anybody here have some problems? Some of you are raising one hand, some of you are raising two. Go ahead, raise your neighbor's hand. Come on. Some of you are like, yeah, I got problems. We've all got problems. I got problems. You got problems. We all have issues that we need God to move in our life. We all have those problems. We live in a real world with broken people, and there's pain, and you know, we all go through it. There's consequences maybe to our actions. There's consequences to others' actions. Some of us go, how in the world did I even get here? And maybe some of us in this room right now are walking through a difficult season. Maybe you go, you know what, dude, I'm here today and I've got some serious financial problems. Maybe that's you. You go, man, I put my head on the pillow every night and I'm just stressing over how I'm going to pay the bills. I'm stressing over it's a serious problem. For some of us in this room, you're going through some marital problems. And you're like, man, dude, me and my spouse, it's not working out right now. It is a very stressful time in our lives. You know, maybe the future is uncertain for you. That could be where you're at today. When you walk in this room, you go, I'm wrestling with this. For some of us, maybe, you know, some relational problems, maybe with children, maybe with extended family, maybe with a boss or a coworker at the workplace. And it just brings incredible tension. And you go, man, I got some problems. I need God's help. Maybe for some of us, it's employment problems. And you go, I'm looking for a job. I've been out of a job for a while, or this job's coming to an end and I need God to provide. Maybe for some of us, it's an addiction problem. And then there's something that's just eating our lunch. And we're like, it just owns me and I can't seem to break out. Whatever the case, I think all of us, whether we made bad choices and got there, or maybe some of us just begin walking down the path and we show up here and we go, how did this happen? Doesn't matter where you're at today. Doesn't matter what your problem is. When Jesus is in the midst, okay, there's opportunities for a miracle. Problems are an opportunity for a miracle. I mean, I imagine this. Can you imagine if Jesus walked the earth and there were never any problems? Can you imagine Jesus walking into these? Because Jesus was walking around healing the blind. The lame were walking. He's raising the dead. Can you imagine him walking into town and like, hey, anybody sick? Like, nope, no sick people here. Like, what? Okay. Anybody got problems? Nope, no problem. Jesus has been like, well, I could have done a whole lot more, but yeah. Think about it. What did Jesus do, right? He preached, he healed the sick, he cast out devils, he did those things. If there was never any problems, we never would have seen a bunch of the power, a good portion of the power of Christ in people's lives. So they needed problems, you know. So here's the truth. If you're here today and you have a problem, guess what? You're a prime candidate for a miracle. And you're like, right on, brother. Come on, right? So it's the truth. Problems are an opportunity for a miracle. They're a miracle opportunity. So, you know, Jesus walked the earth. In fact, the truth is this, when you look in Scripture, it is through our weakness that Christ makes us strong. And sometimes we think, well, I've got this. But it's in those areas, like when you come to the end of yourself and you realize, I am done. I have no more in me. It's truly when Christ's power begins to be seen. I've seen people walk in their strength, and they never truly feel like, oh, I need Christ, especially, listen, in the United States, where we have everything we could ever want. We are the richest people on the planet. You may say, I'm not. Well, if you make over 40 grand a year household income, you're in the top 4% richest people on the planet. So when Jesus talks about the rich man, he's talking about you. He's talking about me. And so, but we think, well, I've got it all. But the truth is we're dying because we have problems. And so the truth is it's in our weakness that Christ's power shines the brightest. And maybe some of us here today, we need a miracle from God. We go, man, I need that. I need that in my life. And so the truth is this, you can't have a miracle without a problem. So you go, man, I've got problems. Great, you're a perfect candidate. So let's talk about this. How do we allow Jesus to do a miracle in our life? Maybe we find ourselves, you know, like the people, like this couple in Canaan, and how do we do that? So first thing I would say is this, invite Jesus into your situation. Invite Jesus into your situation. You know, I love what the Scripture says, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So isn't that cool? So Christ was invited to the wedding. And just the very fact that Jesus was there was like, means this, anything is possible. Anything is possible. So, you know, Jesus was invited to the party, and then Mary invited him to perform a miracle. So think about that. Maybe for some of us here today, maybe we're here and we're like, bro, Jesus ain't even at my party. You know, like I've never really truly crossed the line of faith to put my trust in Jesus. I've never said, Lord, I believe you're the Son of God. Maybe you have, and maybe you've walked away from that for years, and you go, man, maybe God would speak to you today to rededicate your life to Him, to recommit your life to Him, to say, Jesus, I'm inviting you to my party. I'm inviting you into my life. I need you into my life. And then maybe for some of us here today, Jesus is at our party, but we're not inviting Him into the situation. That's probably where I spend some of my time. And I'm like, Lord, when's the last time I invited you? God, forgive me. Jesus, I invite you. You know, so here is Jesus in the midst of the party, and the wine is gone. They need a miracle. And what happens? Mary walks up to Jesus and says, they're out of wine. So what does she do? She says, you can do something about it. Jesus, you got this. You can do this. Whatever this guy tells you to do, do it. Do whatever he tells you. So she invites him into the situation. I know for me in my own life, there have been seasons in my life where I've tried to motor on. Jesus is standing right beside me, and I'm trying to motor on in and through my own strength. I look at my kids, right? I got three kids, and when they were younger, they'd be wrestling, trying to fix something. Maybe the wheel popped off their truck, and they're like, and they're so frustrated. And here is Dad, one of infinite wisdom and strength. Courage. I can go on. Listen, I can go on for. I'm standing there, and they're like, and they get to the place where they're overwhelmed, and they're crying, like, Daddy, help me. And I'm like, who's your daddy? Right? Like, I now that they're older, 16, you know, you can't really do some of that stuff now. No, I'm like, I'm not sure. We need to call a specialist, right? We need to buy a new one. I can't fix this. Okay. It's beyond me. After about 5 years old, it was beyond me. So, but in that moment, and I think a lot of us are like that. We're going on in life, and we're trying to do things in and of our own strength, and we're panicking, and we're freaking out, and we're like, in the midst of this is such a big problem. And let's be honest, when we're in the middle of something, for us, it looks like an overwhelming, like, how in the world am I going to make it through this? Lord, how am I going to have enough? It seems so big, and then God just, He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to go, Dad, I need your help. I need your help. And so this is where it is, inviting Jesus into our situation. And so let me ask you, have you done that? And maybe for some of us in this room, we need to invite Christ into our situation. I would say once we've done that, we've invited Jesus into our situation. The second thing we need to do is this, respond with obedience. He told them this. He said, now draw out some and take it to the master of the banquet. So they did so. So they took it out and they did it. The miracle, I love it. The miracle they received, didn't come the way that they thought it would. There have been times in my life where I prayed for something and God didn't answer the way I thought He should. Anybody been there before? And you're like, huh, we got there. I would have taken the shortcut. I would have taken the easy path, but I feel like we went the roundabout. But I am a different person today because of that. You know, Jesus usually doesn't follow our timelines. He usually doesn't follow exactly the way we want it, but He does incredible miracles. I guarantee you they probably weren't thinking, hey, Jesus, you know, tell us to go fill this up with water and turn it into wine. They were like, here's the problem. So if you're going to, I'm not sure what you're going to do. If you're going to go buy some, if you're going to go pray and God bring somebody with a bunch, I'm not sure what they had in mind or even if Mary even had that in mind. But here's what happened. He did something completely different. You know, I know for us as a church back in Pickerington, we were growing, you know, helping some guys plant some churches and things were going well. Church continued to expand, so we jump from our building to a school, and we buy 21 acres of land, and we're like, we're going to build a $5-6 million piece of property, and you know everything was going good, and all of a sudden we jump to the school, and our church stops growing, and I'm like, oh dear God, we plateau, and I'm like, oh, now here we've got 21 acres of land, we're paying that mortgage, we're paying $7,000 for a school rent, we're paying our current building rent, which, and I'm like, oh. And I realized, like, what are we going to do, right? And so what do? We end up coming back to our building. I thought, oh, this is going to be the worst vision move ever, right? And it was funny because our theme that year was moving forward. I feel like we should have changed it to slid backwards. You know what I'm saying? C3 Church, we're sliding backwards. Who's with me? Right? It's like, that's kind of rough. Stand up and try to cast a vision. So we end up like, oh, we did some renovations, so we're able to hold more people. We were already at three services before we jumped. So we come back at three services. It's crazy. Our first Sunday, we grow like 100, 150 people. Like, what? Going back to our old building. So we said, you know what? We are going, and I really felt like God saying, I don't want you to build a big building. I want you to go all the way around the belt loop of 270 with C3 campuses, medium-sized church done with big church excellence. So we're like, okay, that's what we're going to do. But now we have this piece of property. What are we going to do with this? It's awesome. We didn't even put it on the market. Someone came to us and says, I want to buy that piece of property. How much are you going to sell it for? So I'm like, we bought it for this. I'm like, we're selling it for this. And they're like, well, how fast can we get it approved? I'm like, well, if you buy it for full price. So long story short, we just sold the property and made $300,000. So I look at that, right? So what does that do? That now sets us up. We said, hey, we're going to launch our first campus, and we put together a budget, a nice, fat, delicious budget of $300,000, and then we sell our property, and God's like, there's your $300,000. I'm like, oh, the Lord, yeah, thank you. Right? I was doing a dance. So I look at this. Now, that's not the way that I would have got us there. In fact, but I look how God has grown me. He's grown our church through this whole process, and I look how God came through with an incredible miracle. So our problem was an opportunity for a miracle, and I think as we continue to walk in obedience, but God desires us to respond in obedience. So God moved in a way that we didn't see, that I wouldn't have chosen, but he got us to where we need to go. So we have to respond in obedience. In fact, these seven miracles that you guys will be walking through for the next few weeks, you'll see there's always a component where God has the individual, the person, do something. Like, hey, so he had them do something. So they are a part of the miracle that Jesus brings. It's not like Jesus just, you know, take this pill, waves a magic wand. Okay. No. He invites us into the miracle working process. Like, I'm going to take your problem, and with you, I'm going to hold your hand, and we're going to fix this thing together. So let me ask you this. What area of your life do you need a miracle in? And how different would your life be if God were to give you a miracle in that area of your problem? What would that look like for you? It would look like something different. How different would our lives be? And how different would our lives be if we responded to where God is leading us with obedience? So what is God speaking to you? We invite him into our situation, you know, into our lives, into our situation. And then we, Lord, what is it you want me to do? God, I'm going to begin to live as you. I'm going to begin to live as the scriptures say. I'm going to begin to follow you. And as we begin to take steps of faith in the right direction, it's like our faith and obedience is what really God begins to move. It sets things into motion. And for some of us here, we need to set something into motion. Right? Today, set something into motion. You know, Jesus, man, had them fill those up. And so I think when you look at our life, Christ is trying to get us not just somewhere, but he's trying to develop us into who he's called us to be. So when we go through difficult seasons, right? I'm not saying God brings those on us, but God will walk with us through those, and he will do miracle after miracle in and through our lives if we invite him into the situation and if we continue to walk in obedience. So what does that look like for you today? Maybe there's some of us, and you know, you're either waiting for something, and maybe you're struggling with something, and God's like, hey, I want you to step out. I want you to move. Because obedience, here's what I know too, obedience will eventually cost you something. For those guys, right, they're going to look like, they scooped that up, they were going to look like total fools. This is water, you fool. Get it out of my face. I mean, think about this. So it cost them something, but many times, obedience is the tag for a miracle. So think about that. They moved out. And then so after we have these things, invited Jesus into our situation, responded with obedience. And I would say lastly, we need to trust Jesus for the miracle. Check out this. Let's read this last. The last scripture says, the master of the banquet, what did he do? He tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who knew, who had drawn the water, they knew. Then he called the bridegroom. He said, everyone brings out the choice wine and the cheaper wine. He said, but you have saved the best now. And the truth is, God desires to do a miracle in our life that is better. He desires to give us better things than that which we had before. And so I think there came a point where it was out of their hands, where they said, man, we're doing what he asked us to do. We've invited him into the situation. Man, we're responding with obedience, and now it is out of our hands. We have to trust him. Now, let's be honest. I don't know about for you. Trusting can be kind of difficult. Anybody have an issue sometimes with trust issues? Man, God, I don't know. And maybe there's some, you know, I can't imagine the tension going on in that house with the wedding, but sometimes God asks us to do things that may seem a little ridiculous, and he's like, will you trust me? Will you obey? And then once we do that, we just have to believe that He's going to do the miracle. Once we've done everything that He's asked us to do, it's that trust. And so problems are a miracle for the opportunity. Maybe some of us, we've been obedient and we're like, Lord, I'm being obedient. But God, I'm not seeing it yet. Just hold on, man. We're in the midst of a miracle. There's always that process where He's refining us and He's growing us. And maybe that's where some of us are today. So let me ask you this. What problem are you dealing with? And you may go, man, my problem is overwhelming. Can I just tell you something? You are a prime candidate for a miracle from God. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what's going on in your life. But can I tell you something? I do know. I know the God of the universe. I know Him personally. Many of you in this room do too. His name is Jesus Christ. He came to this earth. He died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sin, so that we could be made new. And when we call on the name of Jesus, we invite Him into our lives. You know what's amazing? Man, I walk with Him every day. And I want to invite Him in every single situation. When I wake up in the morning, I just say, good morning, Jesus. Man, I can't wait to walk with you today. What's going to happen today? Lord, I'm believing for the incredible. I'm believing for miracles today. God, whatever comes my way, Lord, I know that You are going to be more than enough. And so what is your next step? For some of us in this room, your next step is inviting Jesus into your life. For some of you, it's inviting Him into the situation. For some of you, it's responding in obedience. Talk to one gentleman, he's like, man, I'm wrestling in my life with this. And I go, he goes, I haven't heard from God in a long time. And I said, well, what did God tell you to do last? Well, He told me to do this. I go, have you done that? Well, no. Why should He tell you anything more? Take a step of obedience. And so I'm not sure, again, where you are today or what season that you're in. But let me just say this. If you have problems in your life, you're a perfect candidate for a miracle from God. That's the hope that we have that is found in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to ask this. I'm going to ask if you would just to close your eyes in this room this morning. And maybe you're here and you go, man, Conan, I don't know this Jesus like you're talking about. The Bible says that there is a God who loved us. We were separated from Him because of what He calls sin. That's our disobedience. He is perfect and holy, and we are not. So God creates a miracle for our problem of sin. And He sends His Son, Jesus, and Jesus walks the earth flawlessly, sinlessly. He walked the same world we do, but He sinned not. And then He willingly died in our place. He took my sin, and He took your sin upon His shoulders. He was nailed to the cross, and He extends to us new life. He is the bridge for us to come in relationship with God our Father. And maybe some of us in this room, we are far from God today. Or maybe we've known God, but we've walked away and you need to renew your commitment, whatever the case. I would love to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you by any means. I'm going to pray up here, you at your seats. But nobody looking around, if you go, Conan, would you pray? Today I am choosing to commit my life to Jesus. To rededicate, maybe it's rededicate my life to Jesus. If that's you, nobody looking around between you and God, would you just raise your hand? Anybody here today, you got thrown. Okay, I'm going to ask you if you raise your hand to pray this with me. Or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you go, man, I should have. Pray this with me in your own heart and mind. Just tell Him, Jesus, thank You. Thank You for dying for my sin. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Make me new. Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. Today I choose to follow You. In Jesus' name. The Bible says if you prayed that prayer, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Heads bowed and eyes closed still. Maybe there's some of us and you go, you know what, Conan, I have a problem in my life. And then I need a miracle from God. And I'm inviting Him into my situation. I'm going to choose to respond in obedience, and I'm going to choose to trust Him. But I have a problem that I need a miracle for. If that's you, nobody looking around between you and God, would you just raise your hand and put it right back down? Yep, yep, all in this room. I appreciate your honesty. Yep, I appreciate your honesty. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that You would release Your power in this room right now. God, that wherever we are in the midst of our problem or our problems, God, for some of us, we feel like there's been an avalanche that has covered us and we feel like we're suffocating. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that You would be who and what only You can be. God, You are a miracle-working God. God, You cared about these people's reputation at this wedding so much. It wasn't life or death. But Lord, you cared about where they were, who they were so much, and we don't even know their names. You cared about them enough to do your first miracle. God, we're so grateful. And Lord, I pray that you would do a miracle for each one of us. Wherever we are today, God, I pray that we would invite you into the situation right now. Jesus, we invite you into our situation. And we choose to respond in obedience to whatever you're calling us to do. So be it. We choose to walk in obedience. And God, we will trust you even when we can't see or understand what you're doing. We choose to trust you. You are a miracle-working God. There can be no miracles without a problem. And so, Lord, we come to you, and today we lay our problems at your feet. And God, we pray, release your miracles in our life. You are the miracle-working God. In Jesus' name we pray. Problems are a miracle opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.